even as evil. He comes up on the scene and he says, yes, I have come to be the king of your life, but I'm not the kind of king that you fear. And I say that because after Jesus says everything that is so intense, these are the last words that he speaks to his disciples. If you give up your life for me, if you die to your way and you cling to me, you will find your life. Jesus says, in my kingship, I don't come to steamroll you. I don't come to dominate you. I don't come in evil. I come in grace and in truth. And I come to give you a life that you could never manufacture on your own, even if you tried. And this week I found a king that maybe fit that description a little bit to help us kind of wrap our minds around what Jesus is saying. Many of us may or may not know this. Maybe you covered this in a world history class in college. But back in the mid-500s BC, there was this Persian king who lived. His name was Cyrus the Great. Anybody ever heard of Cyrus the Great before? If you read your Bible, you should hear of Cyrus the Great, because that's a thing too. Cyrus the Great is talked about in secular texts and in non-secular texts because he truly was an amazing king in Persia. Back when Cyrus lived, the goal of almost every single king was to dominate the whole entire world, was to wipe out other nations, was to kind of take people as slaves and send them into exile, to rework the world the way that you wanted to work it. And if you died on top, man, you won over all the other kings. But Cyrus wasn't that way. Instead, Cyrus was a king who again and again worked for freedom in a way that was astounding back in that day and age. One of the most incredible things he did was midway through his two-decade reign, he issued this Edict of Restoration, it's called. And he took Jewish people that had been exiled in Babylon as slaves in Babylon for decade after decade, and he said, I want you guys to just go back to your home country. I want you to go back. You're free. Go settle it again. And not only did he do that, he told the Jewish people, go rebuild your temple. Have your own gods. That was unheard of. This is like the beginning of some concepts of freedom of religion in world history. This is astounding. And not only that, but he said, actually, go rebuild the wall too. Protect yourselves because there might be some people that don't like you all that much. This was unheard of in that day and age, but that's what Cyrus did. He worked for freedom. He used his strength to bring liberation. He used his power to bring the Jewish people into a reality that they could not manufacture, even if they tried. They were exiles. They were slaves. It was done. But Cyrus was not a normal king. And Jesus doesn't come to be a normal king either. He says, I'm kind of a king like that, but an even greater way, because I come to liberate you not just from a slavery that you can experience physically or an exileship that you can experience physically. I come to liberate you from the sin and the brokenness that you experience in your everyday life and in your everyday world. And I know it sounds too good to be true, but I've come to bring you into a place of wholeness and purpose, a new life that, trust me, you cannot manufacture on your own. And to show that he was serious, King Jesus took off his golden crown and his scepter and all of his glory and royalty and splendor, and he took on nails and thorns and a cross. King Jesus died for you and for me. And for every other king, that's the end of the story. Cyrus had a two-decade reign. He died. That was it. But not even death could hold King Jesus down. 3 days later, the ground began to shake and the tomb split open and Jesus walked out, a living, breathing human being again. And the hundreds of people that saw him testified to it with their lives on the line that Jesus truly had risen again from the dead with all glory and power and splendor, proving that everything that he said, everything that he promised really was true. And that's what Christians stand on. Because if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, go home. This is pointless. But But if Jesus did rise from the dead, it means that whether we subscribe to it or not, Jesus is the King of our world, of our planet, of our very own lives. But we know from the life that Jesus lived that it's a really backwards type of kingship from what we're used to, is it not? I mean, that's what he told his disciples. Yeah, your life on this earth, it might be hard. It might be some sort of a struggle, but you know what? Again and again, we find references and story after story in the accounts of Jesus' life that Jesus, King Jesus, led the way for the rest of his disciples. And it's the same way for you and for me. Before, the question is, how much do you love God? The statement is, look how much God loves you. Before, the question is, what will you give up for Jesus? The statement is, look what King Jesus will give up for you. King Jesus leads the way. And that means that the starting point for us is not what have you sacrificed for Jesus, it's what has Jesus sacrificed for you. The place where we begin is not how hard or easy is your life right now because of Jesus. It is what life has Jesus given you. And the starting point for faith in Jesus never, ever will be how firmly can you make a case for who Jesus is. And it will always, always, always be standing in the reality of who you are because of Jesus. Because that reality is something incredible. Can I have Kate and the Thielens come back up here? Kate's busy texting. Be a good band name, wouldn't it? Kate and the Thielens? I think so.
I take my notes on my phone.
She takes her notes on her phone. Thanks, Kate. They still got their signs, their names, it's okay. But because of Jesus, this is the truth for all three of these people around here. Would you flip your signs around? Can you guys read what that says together? Child of God. That's the reality that Jesus comes to bring you into. No matter who you are, no matter your story or your background, no matter where you come from or even what you think about him, Jesus comes to make you his child. An heir to eternity, salvation in perfection forever. And don't get me wrong, you can respond to this in a variety of different ways. Kate can say, forget about it. I don't think this is a good idea. You know what? I'm going to take what Jesus has done and I'm going to rip it up because I think it's a fairy tale. I think it's too good to be true. Forget it. You can absolutely do that. But Christians take this and they cling to it with their lives. They subscribe to this no matter what, saying, I am a child of God. This is all I've got. I am forgiven. I have been set free by King Jesus, and I am an heir with the promise of salvation and perfection forever, not because of anything I've done, but solely because of the cross of Jesus Christ and the empty tomb of the King of the world. That's what I stand on. That's who I am. And as I walk in this broken world, life may not be easy because my King is not of this world. But you want to know what Christians know? That real life is found clinging to Jesus. And a Christian life reflects holds on to this. And we look forward then to the day when we do receive the promise that Jesus came to bring. That there will be a day when the war is over, when the suffering ceases, when all pain and brokenness and struggle and suffering is just done, it's eradicated forever. And Jesus says, all those people found clinging to me will receive eternal life and perfection with me forever. How amazing of a promise is that? Last Sunday, I was second row from the top at U.S. Bank Stadium to watch the Minneapolis Miracle, it's being called. They won, and no one offered me tickets to Philadelphia. I don't get it. It was a surreal moment being up there. They scored the winning points, and I was there with my younger brother and some guys that I have no idea who they were, but we all just like hugged each other and stuff like that. The guy in front of us almost passed out. I saw grown men crying all over the place. People were freaking out and cheering. It was like decade after decade of Vikings pain just kind of let loose for a moment. And I had another friend that stayed there. He said they were there for 2.5 hours just watching the replay, cheering every single time. Everyone was just so excited. It was a party. And yeah, it's just a football game. And maybe it's just the pastor in me. It probably is just the pastor in me. But after a few minutes of taking it in and screaming my head off, you can tell my voice is not at 100% today. I stepped back and I thought to myself, I bet you this is what the first few hours of heaven is going to be like. In an even more amazing way. Think about that promise that evil will be done forever. I'll do more than a skull chant for eternity for that. That's our promise because of our Savior, our King. And I don't know about you, but I want the stadium to be packed beyond capacity when I get to eternity. We got a lot of joy to share with the people around us, but until Jesus comes again, we keep our eyes focused on what he's done and who he is, because this is what we know and this is what our lives reflect. Say it with me. Real life is found clinging to Jesus. Amen.